here. Originally, it was just a project of the Yunnan Astronomical Observatory, the principal investigator being Liu Zong. It is a ring telescope, an 8-meter diameter ring telescope. That was the way it was originally proposed. It has 24 segments. Each one of the segments is about a meter by a meter in size. It covers, and that was his concept, it covers all spatial frequencies in terms of baselines and distance of an 8-meter telescope, but it actually is not a filled 8-meter telescope, it's a so-called ring telescope, but it has all the spatial frequencies on the sun. It will have all the spatial frequencies of an 8-meter filled aperture telescope. It is advantageous in the sense that it is symmetrical. It has an aperture of 8 meters, but a heat-collecting aperture of 5 meters, which may only be the concern is the heat management in such a telescope. Of course, it is what I call polarization neutral. Some people call it polarization free because it's symmetrical. These telescopes never are polarization free, but when you have an off-axis telescope, you have some polarization that's introduced by the telescope and that you have to take care of afterwards by proper calibration. There's a large space available at the Gregorian focus back here for instrumentation and for multi-conjugate adaptive optics facilities. The modulation transfer function, that's the distribution of spatial frequencies on the sun, it will ultimately cover. For a 4-meter telescope, it's approximately that. For an 8-meter telescope, that is a ring telescope, it extends twice as far out because it's twice the aperture, but it is not a filled aperture, so the response is not quite as it would be for a full filled aperture telescope, but all spatial frequencies are there. Combined with the observations which goes up to those spatial frequencies in the sun, it will use speckle masking or triple correlation analysis techniques to recover the full spatial frequency domain in the imaging of the telescope. There are two types of ring telescopes that are under consideration. This was the original one proposed by Liu Zong. There is a second concept that is proposed by the people in Nanjing. There's been no decision. But I heard yesterday that there would be a decision made this year or next year between this design and this design. I call this a ring, an aperture ring. It's similar to the giant Magellan telescope or the multi-mirror telescope, which I worked with. This is the segmented ring, as I call it, which has segments. One of the big things in making telescope with separate apertures like this, separate mirrors, is to get things co-aligned and co-phased, in this case of 24 segments, and in this case, for the number of apertures that are being included. The one thing I've looked into is what is the optimum number of apertures that could be used. And I looked at a number of different aperture configurations. That was the one that was shown in the slide before. This is one that only has 5 apertures, and this is the one that has one more aperture of 7 apertures. And this is, again, the modulation transfer function. The advantage of going to an odd number of apertures is that these are non-redundant arrays. You think of them as an interferometer. These baselines are repetitive. That one repeats with that. That one repeats with that, and so on. These have non-repetitive baselines, and as a result, when you go as a function of azimuth, in the image or in a modulation transfer function, the odd-numbered ones have a much nicer modulation transfer function than the one with an even number. So I prefer a 7, for example, or a 7 aperture array over a 6 aperture, but that's one of the things that the people who are running the project in China will have to decide. The red line here is the one for a segmented ring telescope, and as you can see, the response of the aperture ring telescope is somewhat better than you get for a segmented ring telescope. So some people prefer the aperture ring telescope. It's something that I prefer also personally because I know how to co-align and co-phase these apertures. This goes back at an earlier phase in my life when I worked on the United States telescope at NOAO, which was called the New Technology Telescope. National New Technology Telescope, which had an array of 4 8-meter apertures, and in which we designed a system inside the telescope. And I won't go into the optical details, just know that you know that there is such a thing. that would co-align and co-phase these four 8-meter apertures. And it was actually laboratory tested. There was a test for up, and it seemed to work very, very well. So that is an advantage. When you do it with a segmented ring telescope, that is much more complicated. And there is a scheme for it, but it's not as nice as I think as this one is. This is an image that was shown already, or a movie that was already shown yesterday by Professor Fang. This is the telescope at Fushan Lake Telescope. A 1-meter aperture telescope. This telescope will be used to test the concepts that are being developed. The field of view, this is actually made with this telescope with some image restoration technique and shows a movie of a solar flare. So these people are really on top of things in that institute. They're very, very nice images. They're image reconstructed, and it shows the field of view that is being proposed for the Chinese giant solar telescope. So this is both indicating what sort of field of view is aimed at, and it also is intended to show you how things will be tested in terms of the concept of image restorations. The solar science physics objectives are pretty much the same as they are for the ATST, except that one is twice the amount of resolution. I discussed that with a number of people, Eugene Parker, Bob Stein, and Matthias Rempel. We just heard his talk. And some of the people said, well, with the 4-meter telescope, you can resolve everything. And I said, if that's the way it is, it will resolve everything. Also, there's a CGST, but at twice the wavelength. So this would make a good telescope, not just for the visible, but it would make a very good telescope for the infrared. And this is something I obtained from Bob Stein, which shows you, again, the images that came out of the models. And that shows you what the CGST wavelengths could do, comparable to a 4-meter telescope like the ATST. So the design is for the near-infrared, and that is for the MCAO, the multi-conjugate adaptive optics associated with it. The infrared spectral region has the advantage of larger Zeeman splitting and a higher continuum transparency at 1.8 microns. That is of interest. It has not been mentioned very much, I think, in connection with the AT, but especially in sunspot at 1.8 micron, the atmosphere is much more transparent. You can look a couple of scale heights down lower in the continuum than you can do in the visible, where the transparency is not as high. And of course, at the longer wavelengths than that, when you get further in the infrared, one has twice the angular resolution that the ATST would have. How do I do that? That is the main science thing. But you never know, the models may be wrong. We just hear something different. The models are developing. And one might expect smaller structures than were predicted by the models. We don't know. In fact, in my view, solar physics is much about the interaction of models and observations. The two work hand in hand, and the models have to be checked as observations, and the observations get more guided through the model. And it may be that one wants the higher angular resolution of an 8-meter telescope over a 4-meter. One, we get to know more about what actually the sun does and the sun looks like. So that is what obtained from Rempel's publications before, and smaller structure may exist. So the CGST design will be designed so it can be used at visible wavelengths, either using full adaptive optics, but even partial adaptive optics will do very well in terms of getting you full angular resolution. Partial adaptive optics is adaptive optics that is used at a shorter wavelength than it was designed for to be optimal. Atmospheric tomography. When we talk about multi-conjugate adaptive optics, it was mentioned already in the talk of the Big Bear telescope. It's one that increases multi-conjugate adaptive optics that increases the field of view over which the atmospheric seeing is corrected. It's more complicated than it is for a filled aperture telescope. A ring telescope is more complicated because one has to be able to measure in three dimensions the turbulence, the optical turbulence in the Earth atmosphere. A ring telescope, and this is just for the segmented ring telescope, if you go out from a point of the sun, the point where you do your wavefront sampling, you get a coverage in the atmosphere that is a cone like this with a cross section that separates out when you get higher and higher and higher up. Ultimately, you want to recover the optical turbulence in that volume by doing tomography, very much like medical tomography is, and you want to really have a continuously filled area to do your wavefront, to do your tomography with. So you can do that by going not from, here I go. Normally when you have the single conjugate adaptive optics, which is just used as my mind at the moment is functioning not 100%. You basically, this is for triple conjugate adaptive optics, which means multi-conjugate adaptive optics with three layers of correction. You want to fill, this is a cross-section of what the point where you're measuring your wavefront distortion at is as the, in the atmosphere. So what you want to do is to measure the atmospheric wavefront distortions over many more points in the solar image. Three times more than you would do with a filled aperture telescope. But that's no problem with the sun, because the sun is a conjugate, an extended area. For nighttime astronomy, that would be a problem because you work with a limited number of so-called guide stars. But this is a Shack-Hartmann wavefront sensor that I made at Sacramento Peak. Some of it I did together with Thomas Rimmler, which shows a large aperture, 127 by 127, arc second area on the sun, the sunspot group by which you can on which you can measure the wavefront distortion, on which you can get over many, many points on the sky, on the sun, you can get your wavefront measurements. So the conclusion is, design the telescope for near-infrared and further infrared up to 13 microns, allow for future extension to the visible, include multi-conjugate adaptive optics, in this case triple conjugate adaptive optics probably, which is similar to what Big Bear is proposing. Use maybe a secondary mirror similar to the ones or identical to the one that's being built already for the Giant Magellan Telescope, which has 672 actuators, which would survive. One would require more guide stars, and consider low scattered light capability, a coronagraph capability to allow for coronal magnetic field measurements at high resolution. Now, what about the location? Professor Fang mentioned that there are site tests on the way in southwestern China in Yunnan province and in Tibet at high altitude sites. The project prefers to use lakeside environments similar to what they have at Fujian Lake at the telescope that I showed a movie of, and similar to, again, to Big Bear. The reason there is for doing that because the seeing is better in the middle of the day. In the middle of the day, that is the better time that is being considered to do the observations because of the smaller seeing distances from the sun. For the sun, which gives you a lower sky background, lower also in the IR. The Doppler pulse, which causes the isoplanetic patch size, will be closer, which makes it larger, and it will also, as a result, have a larger sky area because of the multi-conjugate adaptive optics. And of course, you have a smaller air mass, so if you're worried about atmospheric absorption lines, if they happen to be around the wavelengths you're observing, they will give you less of a headache. So they're looking at sites, I'm almost done, in Tibet, and in Sichuan, in Yunnan province, Yutong province is here. That site, Louis Zong is telling me, has a very nice location, but it's a possible location called Sari Nanso Lake. It is at that latitude, east 4600, as I mentioned already, very high. The Chinese have good lungs, I suppose, and a dimension of 20 by 30 kilometers. And I give it a respect to Kathmandu, because people tend to know where that is, 360 kilometers north of that. That is very preliminary, and of course, that's a long ways off. Final decision. Thank you very much.
All right, that was the last part of the session. Do we have any questions?
Um, Very nice talk. And thank you very much for your suggestion for the Chinese giant telescope. And I, by the way, I would like to say we welcome all of you giving us some suggestions, if you have, for the solar future large telescope, because I think many of you have many experience, so we need to some help from you. Thank you very much. Okay.
I should add to my talk that I don't receive any support from NASA, neither from any other government agency. So.